This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. How's
ما شاء
everybody?
الله. Let us know if you can hear us. We have Sister Maymuna, we have Sister Fauzia, Sister Rehab, and I cannot say that one. But let us know if you're ready and we can get started, inshallah. All right. Bismillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulullah. If I get a thumbs up, we will get started, inshallah. All right, so we are so excited to have you here today. We are doing a very special webinar. It's the first time that I have my husband, Abdul-Majid, here with me. And so this is my husband of 27 years, mashallah, Abdul-Majid. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. It's nice to be in front of the camera here. I think I've come on live maybe a couple of times in the past. It's pretty exciting to bring this to you. We spent a lot of time, my wife and I, putting this program together. And over the past 10 years, the Five Pillars of Marriage has been just an amazing experience of seeing people transform and seeing my wife. And I'm so happy to be here today. You can see me from, I work behind
the
scenes.
He's always behind the scenes. So now we're bringing him in front of the camera. We want to share what we have gone through, and we want to empower your relationships. You know, marriage can be very challenging. It is, I think when we started working together, we've been working together for 10 years, and I can tell you that's when the main challenges, I think, arose. So we're going to be very real with you. I think it's so important to walk the talk.
Absolutely.
And what we have experienced is that knowing the information that we know about marriages. I've been doing faith-based counseling for the past 27 years, alhamdulillah. And so professional experience working with thousands of couples worldwide and seeing how they transform with the information, and then drawing upon our 27 years of marriage experiences. And we've lived in how many different countries?
Well, three countries, I think.
Yes.
Four countries that we've lived in together.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
And I mean, it's pretty amazing. So, subhanAllah, the reality is with the experiences we've had, most of what we've seen and most of what we've experienced is very, very similar to every couple out there. And alhamdulillah, because of the marriage skills that we bring into the relationship.
Right.
Now we're coming on to 30 years of marriage, tabarakallah.
Almost.
And we've been through it all. We're from different cultures. My wife is from Iranian origin. I'm from Lebanese origin. So we're coming in with different cultures. We're coming in with different experiences, different expectations, different rules for our homes.
So against all odds, I would say,
absolutely,
being able to make it work, because sometimes people come from the same culture, sometimes from the same, same country, same families, and they still struggle. So we're going to bring in a lot of rich experiences, and we want this to be very beneficial, and it's different. Okay, why is this? It's not just a webinar, first of all, because you're really going to walk away with a lot of tools that you can apply immediately. If you take what you learned today and you apply it with your spouse, inshallah, you're going to see the difference. And why is it different? It's because, it's so easy to give marriage advice, but I want you to ask the people who give the marriage advice. One, are you married? You would think,
that people giving advice should be married.
Right. And then two, are you happily married? Right.
Yeah.
Because, it's kind of like asking a businessman if they're bankrupt. You don't want someone who's bankrupt giving you financial advice. Right. So
Might want to not listen to him. Take the advice and not listen.
Or what not to do.
What not to do, exactly.
And so, and this is the fact that what makes it different is that we're coming together. We're sharing with you our true, like our life experiences.
That's right.
And alhamdulillah, and it's not just a personal experience, it's the privilege of having worked with so many people. So how do you know if this is for you? Okay. How do we know this is for you? If you are maybe stuck, you know, you're stuck in your marriage and you feel like, oh my God, like this person is starting to get kind of annoying, right? Or they've been annoying. What other?
Well, I mean, if you feel like you're alone in the relationship and they're like a roommate, you barely interact or...
And a lot of people end up doing that. They live together. They're in the same space, but they kind of live their own lives and they end up being very lonely. So
that's
if
right.
you feel like you've kind of disconnected, maybe you never connected to begin with. I have many couples who will tell me it was an arranged marriage and there wasn't a friendship to begin with, right?
That's right.
And so maybe the sparks were never there. Maybe they were sometimes. People are madly in love. How many of you? Let's hear from the people who are tuning in. How many of you are in arranged marriages? Let's get some reactions here. The more engaged you are, the more energy we're gonna get, and we're gonna give you the best of what we have, inshallah. So let us know on whoever is on right now. Was it an arranged marriage? Was it a love marriage? Or was it a traditional marriage? It would be great to know what was out there. With us, it was very much, you know, we met, it was in the, you know, from the MSA.
MSA, yes.
So that was a wholesome start, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, when I saw her, I was standing with a friend and I said, she's the one. He's like, do you know her? I'm like, no. And I chased her down, believe me. I chased her down all over campus, and now the reality is, just because you start out in love, just because you're attracted, the most difficult part, because we've had lots of couples that went through a similar experience that they were in love, but we have
it
a picture.
Faded away.
We have a picture. Unfortunately,
I know, which is sad.
It's sad. It's like we were about. What? How many couples?
Six, seven couples from college.
Yeah, all good friends of ours, and all most of them were love marriages.
Yeah, they were all love marriages, and then it just didn't last. And it's like it's so important to not just have the love, not just find someone that has compatibilities, because we know how important that is, but to have the marriage skills to know how to make that love last. Because it's not just about getting your man or getting your woman, but it's keeping them happy throughout the decades, right? Okay, so we see that we have some people, they have arranged marriages, there's some love marriages, arranged, love and best friend. That's nice.
Oh, great.
That's nice, mashallah. And so we're going to see that what is it that we can do to make the love last.
Right? That's right.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, inshallah. So, was there anything before we get started?
I think we've got a good number of people on, and I think it's probably a good time to get started.
Yes. Yeah. So what I want to, we want to talk about some of the things to avoid. There are five crucial things.
So I think everybody's here, and I just want to make a dua for anybody out there, you're coming here. Many of you might be in pain that are coming in. Many of you might be feeling like, you know, you've done everything, that you're working tremendously hard in your relationship. You might be here alone. You might feel alone in this.
And very lonely. There are a lot of people who are married, but incredibly lonely, no friendship
That's
and no
right.
intimacy. So
yes, and they're not really getting the sakina and mawadda. You know, in the marriage, the imams always tell us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, waj'alna baynakum mawaddatan wa rahma.
Yes.
Okay? When we made between you mawadda, love and rahma and mercy. And for what? To have sakina.
Right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do this. And we hear this at every wedding.
Every wedding. And we have to see, how do you bring that about?
That's right.
Because we're always told there's the love, there's the mawadda, there's the rahma, and there's sakina. But and the how? How do you achieve that, and how do you maintain it?
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wajala, he has put love. So when it's not manifesting in your life, it's mm-hmm. like, are you doing your responsibility? Are we looking at what it is? And sometimes you might be working really hard, and inshallah, we're going to guide you to work smart and wake up. So before we get started, wake up to the reality of what needs to be done.
I hope you're awake, because that would be a problem. Okay, said you're going to make a dua.
Yes.
Make a dua. Bismillah, for everybody. Salatu wassalamu
ala Rasulullah. أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم الودود المنان الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن يا الله يا ودود. Put the love in the hearts of every couple that are attending Amen. For each other. Ya Allah, make them close to each other. Ya Allah, make them a rahmah for each other. Amen. Ya Allah, bring peace into their homes. Amen. Ya Allah, bring love into their homes. Amen. Ya Allah, ease their pain. Ya Allah, grant them success in their households, in their life, and give them a progeny that looks up to their marriage, that looks up. May their children look at them and say, I want to be married because I love my parents' relationship. Ya Allah, allow us to be the mouthpiece to teach them the tools necessary so that they can live that kind of life, Ya Allah. Amen. Ya Allah, accept from us, Ya Allah, any shortcomings that we have, forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive any of their shortcomings. Ya Allah, make us the best ourselves, best Amen. Selves, and make us bring our best selves to our
Amen.
Life, inshallah.
Amen.
Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
That's fine. Oh, that's beautiful. Jazakallah khair. It's always good to start with that dua. And I also pray that Allah gives us the ability to penetrate your hearts. And I pray that Allah opens your hearts so that you are receptive to this. And don't be closed off. One of the things that people tend to do is they say, you know, I already know this. Or, oh, I've already figured this out. Or I've already tried this. Try to come in with an open mind, because it's really amazing how sometimes one piece of information, I see it with the clients I've worked with, one piece of information applied the correct way and everything
and
changes. So let's be open and receptive, inshallah. So the five things that we really encourage you to avoid. Okay, so there are five maybe deadly mistakes that happen. One of them, and I know it's very difficult. It's difficult when you're frustrated, when things, you know, they escalate and you are, you know, you're just angry and things have built up. The yelling and the name calling. This you have to be very careful about, right? Because what happens? What happens if couples, they start doing that with one another?
Well, first of all, I mean, that's not that's not what brings and raises the respect for one another. And respect is key.
It really is.
So, you know, the Prophet ﷺ told us, لا تغضب, لا تغضب, لا تغضب.
Don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry. Three times.
And so when we bring anger into any interaction, I mean, we're going to harm it.
It's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
And there's a Persian proverb that says, always keep the curtain of respect hanging. Because if you tear it down and you start calling each other names, you start yelling, profanity, cursing, all of this, it's just, it breaks, it damages the relationship. So that's the first thing too. And it creates animosity, because
that's
if
right.
you get called names and you are just, sometimes people curse not only each other, but each other's families.
Yes.
Sometimes the parents who are deceased gets cursed. And this is unacceptable and un-Islamic, like you said.
That's right.
So first one is no yelling and no name calling, right? And then the second thing is don't criticize. Don't criticize. I know it's so tempting, right? Because a lot of things can...
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, some people end up getting PhDs in this.
So the key thing here, when you say don't criticize, I think people are going to think, oh, you live a perfect life. No. Sometimes you do want to criticize, and sometimes you do criticize. But how do you handle it? Mm. That's the tool. And Well, you know, you need, when you're saying don't criticize, I think give them kind of like some more
sure.
context.
So first of all, there's a difference between criticism and observation, right? So the criticism would be, you know, I cannot believe that you're like, the house is such a mess. And what have you been doing all day? There was a funny, actually, video I saw. I think it was on Facebook and or Instagram. And this, you know, the man comes home and everything's a mess. There's food piled up, dishes piled up, you know, clothes everywhere. And he comes and the wife is like sitting on the couch having her potato chips. And he's like, what happened? What's going on? And then she's like, well, you know, when you ask me, what did you do all day? I didn't do it today. That's so, like, you know, so sometimes you don't realize what the other person has done.
That's
and
right.
So when you come and you're angry and you're like, you know, what is all this mess? And that would be a criticism, like, or attacking the person saying like, yeah, you're so lazy, or you don't know, you don't ever keep up with things. Or you could say, oh my gosh, I noticed that things are not the way they usually are. Is everything okay? What happened? That would be very different,
yes.
Right?
Before we move on, because I wanted to make a point here, because a lot of couples both are working, and then a woman comes home, and
right.
because of our cultural background and what we have, we find that the woman does the load of the work in the house.
Absolutely.
And then the man is used to coming in and relaxing on the couch because he grew up in a home with
a traditional home. Roles, right.
And even though that, you know, a traditional home is really something to beautiful, but
right.
it's also fine that if both work. But you get yeah. problems that the woman might start criticizing the man. He doesn't know how to do the dishes. He doesn't know how, and he might not want to help anymore. So, I mean,
right. So we have to honor each other, no matter what circumstance. I see it all, right? I see people who are, they have the traditional roles, right?
Yeah.
And they've choose that and they're happy with that. There are those who both are working. And then I have situations where the woman is working and the man is staying at home. So whatever the circumstance, we have to be very, you know, respectful, because when you criticize, the person is going to feel attacked, right? And they feel like they're not good enough.
That's
okay.
Right.
So
right.
the third thing to avoid is being defensive, right? Being defensive. And this is a tough one. How many of you would admit that you have a tendency to become defensive? If you're criticized, right? If your spouse is being very, very honest. This is good. I know I've been defensive as well, definitely. And it's so natural, right? Because someone is telling you, it's like, oh, you, I'm going to use what I told you. Oh, you drive too close. You're like, what do you say, tailgating? And then you're just like, well, you do it too, right? It's so natural. That is like our instinct to say
that's right.
that. But when you're defensive, then it breaks down the communication. How many? Oh, okay. So we have just one person admitting that they are defensive. Thank you, Sister Fatima. All right. All of you, you're not a part of that, the defensiveness. No, but it's good to recognize. It's good to recognize that we all have flaws. I mean, at
That's
any
right.
given time, I can point out 5 to 10 things I need to improve on myself. And I know that there's always things in our relationship that can improve. So first thing is just recognizing that.
That's right.
And
that's
really important. All right. What about blaming? That's another thing that we need to avoid at all costs. Blaming. What could you tell me? I'd like to hear what you have to say about, oh, guilty. Okay, Sister Fauzia, thank you. Hi.
Well, sometimes when one person does something and there's a consequence to that action or lack of it, it's very easy to point it out. And usually, when something happens that's wrong, it's not just that one person's fault. There
right.
are different circumstances. And I think that it's quite easy to blame. I know.
It is, yeah. We we all fall into that. It's so easy. All of these reactions, they're normal. They're normal. They're natural. And if you allow yourself, it's very easy to do, right? And that's why it takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of education, because, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the heaviest thing on the scale is not the prayer, is not the zakat, is not the fasting, it's not doing the hajj, right? What is it? The heaviest thing on the scale is a good character. So this is what we actually, we aspire to implement ourselves and to teach others, is to have the best akhlaq. And that comes with training. It's like going to the gym. You don't start off with huge muscles. You don't start off with a six pack. No, you have to work hard. And if you don't work hard, what happens?
You're not going to achieve. Yeah. And the reality is, you'll never have if that body that you're working for. So
we have to realize that these things, they're very natural, just like so many sins are natural. So many sins are just like, it's so easy. It's so easy to gossip. It's so easy to lie. It's so easy to do so many haram things, to look and to, you know, not lower your gaze and all of the other things that we know about. However, what do? We train ourselves. We train ourselves. And with that training, we become try to have the impeccable character like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And the key thing, I think, is to understand that no one is perfect. And this is something, I tell a lot of the newlyweds, the young men, you know, where our kids are all adults. We've raised three beautiful children. Yeah. Tabarakallah.
Ages 24, 21 and 19, mashallah.
Yeah, so you know, we've gone through all the different stages. We know what it takes to agree and disagree on parenting. We know what it takes to, you know.
And it does change the dynamics of a relationship.
It does.
As soon as you have one child, that changes the dynamics. And you have the different personalities, the different challenges. So
That's right. And you know, when you react in a normal way, and it is harming to the relationship, how you correct course is important.
Right.
It's kind of like when you learn to drive, you have to learn how to recover from a skid. I remember my cousin, he had just got his driver's license, and he got into my car. We were young and what have you, and I was a few years older than him, so I had a few years of experience, and he thought he was this really good driver, you know, and he's just
super cool.
And he got in, and he was driving, and was driving a little too fast, and he turned, and the car skid. And alhamdulillah, I was right there next to him. All I told him is, I said, turn into the to the skid, and then the car corrected.
Right.
And he told me, if you weren't with me, I would have crashed.
Oh, wow.
So marriage is very much, it's not like you're not going to skid.
It's not like you're not going to have problems.
Yes.
And there's a very powerful quote that says that it's not a marriage without conflict that is successful, but it's how the conflicts are resolved.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because we're all going to have it, whether it's financial problem, whether it's problem, you know, with the in-laws, whether it's having issues with your children, whatever it is, or the community, religiosity, but it's how do you deal with those conflicts? So now the fifth thing to avoid is comparing, right? Because whenever you compare, it creates animosity, right? And it's also very common, you know, you see someone and maybe you're impressed by them and you feel like, I wish my husband was more like that. I wish my wife would have those characteristics. And you come and you want to share and you say, oh, mashallah, you know, Sister Sana, like, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, did you see her cooking? Oh, her kids
are cooking.
Are all kids are all the A students.
Right. And so what happens is when you, that doesn't make you jump out of bed and be more like Sister Sara. You want to like not have anything to do with that person, right? Or if like the woman is like, oh, wow, mashallah, you know, brother.
Did you see the car he got her?
Yeah, he must be really successful. He must be really successful. It immediately makes the person feel inadequate.
That's right.
So make sure that that's not a way to motivate. It does not work. Okay?
No, it does not.
All right. So now, moving right along, we're going to talk about the five things to master, okay? Because we talked about the five things to avoid, we're going to talk about the five things to master. Okay, any questions
before
so
you get
far?
In, yeah, let's do some, see what they're saying here.
Okay, so it's, let's see.
I think I'm really young until it comes to read, and I have to kind of like.
That's okay. I got you. I got you. Okay, what is the most and all? The most and often mistake we commit out of those five? Oh, which one? All right, which one is happens the most? You know, I think all of them are. Yeah. It's the team that has the answer. You know, it's all of them are quite common. I would say they're kind of like equally happening in relationships, unfortunately. Which is the most damaging? It just depends. Let's say what the sensitivity of your spouse is, okay? So depending on their childhood, depending on relationships they have, if they are very maybe insecure and all of a sudden they get compared, that might be the end of it, right?
That's right.
Or if they were always blamed, like in childhood, and now they're being blamed, that might be the thing. So it just really depends on many factors.
So one thing I want to make a point here before you get into the list.
Okay, let's see. Can you please quickly reiterate the five? Yes, thank you for asking. So let's see if anyone remembers. Who remembers and we can get bonus points? I'm always being compared to his ex-wife. Oh, that's not good.
Oh, my God.
That is not good, you guys. No ex-wife, no moms, no what else? I don't know what to... maybe people you've been engaged to. The first one is, first of all, no yelling and name calling. Okay. The second one, who can say the second one? Let's see. Second one is no criticism. Okay. Don't criticize one another. Then we have, don't be defensive, right? Why don't you say the next one?
No blaming.
No blaming.
By the way, right before the live today, I blamed her for something that I shouldn't have. So that's
right.
Where it's coming from.
That's where it's coming from. So I'm plugging it in. That was unintentional, but okay. And then the last one is comparing, right? And we got comparing. Defensiveness. Very good. You guys are paying attention, mashallah. So are you ready to move on now?
So there's a point I wanted to talk about before we move on. See, having the right marriage skills, as you can see, like right before we went live, I mean, it's a stressful moment and we're not acting ourselves and you react.
We're also like overseas, we're jet lagged. So
you might say or do things that you know are not the best thing to do. But you have to course correct, and it's a skill, like we talked about earlier. Yeah, like we talked. Yeah. I keep looking here. The camera's there. So, you have to course correct, and when you course correct, you fix it. And just like you can learn to, like the example I gave earlier.
When you swerve off the road, swerve right back.
Exactly. Right. It's a teachable skill, and. Today, you might be feeling that there is no hope and you have tried everything and you are working harder than ever and it's not taking you anywhere, okay? And that is a very difficult place to be in. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease your difficulty.
Ameen.
The reality is, when you don't know what to do, it's like a person who doesn't know how to swim. And they feel like they're going underwater. All they need is the right tool, a little floaty to hold on. So we're going to give you not only the floaties,
big floaties,
and
a deluxe toolkit.
And a deluxe toolkit,
you know,
how to swim.
You know what I always say to people? I say, you know, I'm sure you feel that you've tried everything. And I believe you have tried everything you know.
That's right.
But not everything that is out there.
That's right.
That's always the distinguishing thing. Some couples come to me, they've been to 5 Muslim therapists and an imam, and they're very frustrated. And they're like, we don't get any results. They just like listen and they're like, time's up. And they just let us argue. And I said, okay, just try it one last time. And it's hard for them to believe. It's like, what's going to be different about this, right? And then it's just a matter of trying a new technique, a new way of looking at things. And it's miraculous.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
So now we're going to go to the 5 things to master in your marriage. Are you all ready? Let's hear it. Yes. Wa alaikum assalam. All right. Let's see. All right. One of the most important things on every couple that I do counseling with, one of the number one things that both ask for, and especially the men, is the respect. Women want it, men want it. It is the thing that is so important in our cultures, right?
That's right.
And so, there's
something I want to tell you. The reason Hala's program or Hala's methodology works so well is she comes from a completely different angle. If you've ever been in marriage counseling before, or you've ever tried to get marriage help or got a marriage course and you don't see results, it's because people keep trying to do the same thing. Oh, if we tell them their rights, they have to respect it. Or if we have to, and the key thing here is what you're gonna get from Hala is tried and tested
through thousands of couples, mashallah, tabarakallah, and it really is like it is a mercy from Allah, and I know that it is Allah who is the healer, and I seek His help, and I pray for my clients and anyone that we are helping, but it is a methodology that is very unique, right? And so we will teach that inshallah. All right, ready? All right, so what we want is respect. Respect is very critical. So these are the 5 things that we really need to master. And honestly, each topic, we could spend an hour talking about it. We're limited on time. And so we have to just, touch on it and go. But there are so many layers. Because, many times in the couples counseling, the man will regularly say, I want respect, right? And then she's like, I do respect you. And I asked the critical question, how do you want to be respected, right? Mm. So you have to know what that respect looks like for the other person. Right? So maybe in the way you speak, and also how you treat people in front of others. That's a big complaint.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How important is that? Like how wife treats you in front of your family, how the husband, treats you in front of the friends.
See, I mean, for men, the reality is they want to feel that they are respected. And when their wife comes and does something simple and makes them a plate or gives them a sandwich in public, that they just, even though it's such a small act, a man feels so good because his wife respected him right then. So imagine doing the opposite. Imagine disrespecting him at that moment. And it's very hard to come back from a public disrespect
right.
for a man and for a woman
and
too.
And for a woman as well, just to be valued in front of the family, to be valued in front of the friends, and to feel like, okay, my husband is honoring me. That's so critical.
Yes, and to have the man being the protector making sure her emotions are protected, because I mean, the Prophet ﷺ told us that a woman is created from a crooked rib. And if you try to straighten it, you'll break it. That crookedness is a strength. See, and this is something that we hear the hadith.
Curved.
It's curved. So, yeah.
Some people are going to have an issue with that, right? Because it's like, if you say crookedness, it's as if like there's a flaw.
Okay, a curved rib. Thank you,
right,
for correcting
sisters?
That word. Yes.
Let's have a thumbs up if you feel me. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's always misinterpreted.
That's right.
Crookedness as if like, oh, there's something wrong with the person. It's curved. Our ribs are beautifully designed, perfectly designed.
That's right.
And so it is in that curve. If you straighten the curve,
it won't be as strong anymore.
Then you're not going to be
protected.
And
that's where I was going to go. It's like, so a woman is the protector in the home, the protector of the man's honor. And just like a rib protects your internal organs, if it was straight and somebody hit you on it, it's going to break.
That's
its strength.
Yeah. And I wish more people defined it like that.
Yes.
I've always heard it crookedness. And I always felt
I think it comes from, I just did it because the Arabic direct translation of that word, but actually, you're right. It should be curved.
Curved.
You're right. That is that more accurate translation.
So from now on, we're going to say curved rib.
Yeah.
It comes from a curved rib. All right. So then the next thing that we need to talk about is safety. Safety, right? And when we say safety, initially, of course, we think about physical safety, which is, I mean, that goes without saying. And sadly, many people in our communities are victim of domestic violence. And this is, you know, it's not acceptable. And sometimes it's the woman who has the domestic violence. Sometimes it's the man. And I've had cases. I've had both cases, subhanAllah. So if that is the situation, I really urge you to seek professional help because, you know, it's not about taking another beating as a way of being pious, right?
Yeah.
We need to really exemplify that a loving, compassionate home. So that in itself is another topic. But safety, we think about physical.
But it's important that as a disclaimer, you know, everything we're talking about, we're not talking about anything that has to do with physical abuse in any way. And severe emotional abuse. Right. I want to be careful with that because some people define emotional abuse a little too loosely. Obviously, anytime people get into argument and they don't talk respectfully to another, that could be deemed as abuse. But I'm not labeling it as abuse. Abuse is something that is, you're probably better at defining the emotional aspect of it.
Well, it can be very either manipulative or it's constant belittling, it's constant gaslighting, and there is this, you know, you're always wrong and I'm never wrong. And so there are many aspects to it. So when we talk about the marriage skills, there is always a disclaimer that as long as there isn't an abusive relationship and as long as a person is psychologically healthy, because sometimes there are underlying psychological issues.
Yes.
Now, as far as emotional safety, right, there has to be emotional safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that entails not overreacting, right? Because if someone constantly overreacts, it's like if someone, you know, let's say the wife says, oh, like, maybe I overspent, or oh, I hit the car, or I did this, and then the man explodes, then there might be a tendency to what?
Hide
and not share. And then there's secrecy that goes on, right?
Then obviously, you know, you don't want to hide finances. Like if a woman, the man is overly restrictive and the woman wants to spend, she's allowed to take to be able to, if he's too, you know, Islamically.
These are things,
you know, that
takes a lot of discussion.
Yes.
So,
But I wasn't going to open up that can of worms. What I'm saying is it could be taken out of context and overdone.
Right.
And what we're talking about is healthy sharing in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is a normal, healthy relationship where both want the best for each other and in the relationship, and I think at that point, you know, having the right tools becomes very effective, right?
Right, right, absolutely. And as long as you're not dismissive and you're not ridiculing one another, then the person feels safe to be able to share. So mm-hmm. a lot of times, women will say, oh, my husband, he doesn't share. He's just quiet. He's on his phone. He doesn't. Does that resonate with anyone? Right. So then we kind of like, it's like peeling the layers of the onion. I wonder why doesn't he share? And then it has to do with maybe being ridiculed, right? Or maybe there's an overreaction. Maybe the wife shuts down because the husband is always dismissive, because when she comes up with an issue, he's just going, this doesn't matter, and you don't know what you're talking about. So we have to create that emotional safety. And this in itself is a topic that needs to be developed. I mean, yes. we can't spend 5 minutes on it. We're not giving it justice. Each one of these topics,
yes, they're very deep,
are, you know, in order to have a loving, harmonious relationship, you have to develop these and you have to know it fully to grasp it. Okay. Yes, my hubby, is addicted to the phone. Okay. How many hubbies are there? And how many wives? I'm sure we're all guilty of it to some extent, right? It's a big test to be patient. May Allah give us all lots of patience. Ameen. And normally the woman puts a lot of effort. However, men are mostly to blame. They seem to cause most of the problem. Women are easy to please. Oh, you know, sister, I'm sure that that has been your experience, and I don't want to invalidate your experience, right? From what I have seen, it can definitely go both ways, right? Mm. So sometimes men are like easier to please because they're just, you know, maybe they're maybe less demanding as far as what is provided for them. And then sometimes it's the woman. So, you know, we have to be careful about that and not generalize. But I know that maybe your experience has been that, and I can respect that. So moving right along, you got to validate. Okay, and I just validated you, sister. You see how that works? Did you see how good that felt? Because if I said, sister, you don't know what you're talking about, then you would feel all defensive. Oh, yes, I do. But I said, I'm sure that that is your experience, and it must be very difficult to give so much and not get anything in return, for instance, right? So.
And sometimes here, this awakens a small point in that sometimes we work really hard and we feel like we're doing a lot. And there's an analogy that Hada uses, and she, you know, if I tell somebody I want a swimming pool and they go out and they start working really hard, but the tool that they're using is a spoon.
A spoon.
And they're digging that hole out with a spoon to make a swimming pool. Nobody could discredit them from not working hard. They're working very hard. If you're not getting the result by working hard, you might be just using the wrong tool.
And, if you have an excavator,
that's right.
And you know, you could be done so quickly. And that is the issue. I'm so glad you brought up that analogy. That was from webinar, yeah. Like from 10 years ago. Good, good job. All right. So yeah, you know, and many people are sitting there digging with a spoon and they're fed up. I work so hard. And I did. And it's just, you just got the wrong tools. And we want to give you the right tools so that you don't have to work so hard. You don't have to be exhausted. You don't have to be fed up with your marriage. There really is an easier way. So validating is, you know, validate doesn't mean you agree with the person, okay? You validate, meaning, hey, it must be very frustrating that, your let's say, supervisor got mad at you. It must have been very hurtful that my mom, like, maybe excluded you. That's all you gotta do. Men, if you write this down, capital, underline, bold, highlight, validate your spouse. Okay, it works both ways, but it's like sometimes as women, we naturally validate. That's what we do on the phone. Oh no, are you kidding me? That's horrible. Oh no. that must have been so embarrassing. We do it naturally, right? It's not sometimes as natural for men. Not, there are exceptions. So
yeah.
Sometimes men are the ones who validate and the women don't. But really, really, if you start doing that, a lot of the problems will go away. That's the secret. Okay, validate. All right. Then we have the last one is admit and apologize. All right? We all make mistakes. We all have shortcomings. And to be adamant that you are never wrong is just, it's childish, right? It's childish. And there's a sign of humility, right? We are, if we have a mustard seed of arrogance, what happens?
You don't enter that paradise.
We can't even smell Jannah,
that's
right? So a lot of people may be humble. They may be humble outside in the masajid, but then in the relationship, there's a lot of ego, right? The ego is like, you know, it's like, imagine, you know, when I just visualize, they have like these balloons and it like takes up the room, right? And the person is smushed against the wall. How many can relate to that, right? And it's like sometimes that ego, if it's so big, you feel smothered. You feel like, so being humble, we have to start in our marriage that I was wrong. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes when I do the sessions and the apology, sometimes it'll take half an hour for someone to admit because they've never said it before. Mm-hmm. And so...
I mean, here, this is something really critical. And I know that a lot of men fall short of being, not wanting to apologize. But the vast majority of the men that I've interacted with apologize just to get out of an argument.
Like, I don't want to deal with it.
So
right?
So what are your, what are your thoughts on that? Because I think any man watching there... that might be an issue. It's like, I can't even address it. I just apologize because I don't want to hear it.
So the thing is that it's always good to admit. It's always good to admit if you've made a mistake. And if you're doing it, let's say, to keep peace and you want to keep the relationship and you do it fi sabilillah. Is there a mosquito? Oh, there's... I was like, okay, there's so many mosquitoes here. So, that's very admirable to want to keep the peace. But if you're just saying, oh, sorry, oh, like, you know, just forget about it. Oh, don't bring it up. The reason sometimes women bring it up over and over and over again, why? Is because it was never resolved, right? They didn't get closure. Do I hear an amen, sisters? We have to say something for the brothers, too.
That's right.
We got to balance it out. That's why I have that.
So basically what you're saying is if a woman feels validated or heard or is resolved,
right,
then the man would be less likely having to apologize when he wasn't mistaken, when he didn't believe he was mistaken.
So you have to resolve it, right? Because let's say maybe it's the woman who's making the mistakes, right? And she just, oh, sorry, and it's not really resolved. You have to resolve the issue, and that's why it's so critical to learn the process of conflict resolution and just being able to know how to talk, how to resolve it so that, you know what, that you're not just needlessly apologizing, you're actually resolving the conflict, right?
Yes.
So it's not just to like shut the person up. Don't apologize to shut the person up. You have to actually, and you have to know how to resolve conflict because some people run away from it because it's like, oh my God, this is going to lead into like a 3-hour discussion.
So, and that's one of the things I know that whenever I've had people, because being married to Hoda for 30 years, at the mosque, a lot of people walk up to me thinking I'm the therapist or I'm the marriage counselor.
Sometimes he thinks he is. No, but he is though. MashaAllah. The thing is that we made this program together. And
yes.
So all of the information, MashaAllah, he has embodied it. He practices it. And you have passed it on to
so many. Yeah, actually, subhanAllah.
So we just joke about
it. Yeah, subhanAllah. I mean, so many of the people I interact with, sometimes just sharing, you know, one or two sessions gave them enough tools
to save their marriage. Sometimes they're on the brink of divorce.
Yeah. And And really, I mean, these tools, once you practice them, it's like driving. You don't even
think about it. It makes it easy. It's kind of like instead of crawling, you're like driving a sports car, right? We're going to give you the sports car, sports car of marriage relationship. There's a very sweet comment I wanted to post. Love their relationship, mashallah. They seem to have so much adoration for each other and love between them. May Allah increase them. Ameen, everybody. Ameen, alhamdulillah, mashallah. Can you quickly go over the five, please? I missed 3 and 4. Yes. Now, who has it? Who was taking notes and is aware and paying attention and not snoozing, right? Oh, we can just do that?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So let's go back so we can quickly go over it. So one was to show respect, right? Two? Safety.
Safety. I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, you were paying attention. Yeah, you're just adding on. Okay, that's fine. All right, three is validate. Okay, validate. One, two, three, four. Why do we have four? We have to have a free. Oh, okay. It's to admit and then to apologize. That's the fifth one. Admit and apologize. So, did y'all get all of that? Respect, safety, validate, admit, and apologize. Okay. So, very good. Now, as you were saying, every single one of these needs to be like thoroughly discussed and explained. And if you feel like you benefited from this discussion, we have an excellent program.
It's our baby. We have four babies. We have Amir, Kareem, Layla, and the five pillars of marriage.
That's so true, you guys. It's like 10 years. And, it really is. And it's like
when our kids are going through the program, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, if you're getting married, you got to go through it. Yeah. Your fiance has to go through it. And we're going to design a special test just for you so that, we can make sure that they get the tools, because it's like I've seen it. Oh, my God, I see what happens when people don't have the tools. And it's scary. It's really scary.
Yeah, so over the smallest things.
Over the smallest things, divorce comes up. And so, if this has been beneficial, this is just like a drop in the bucket of like, mashallah, what we provide on this. We have an online program, The Five Pillars of Marriage, and it is very comprehensive.
It really is.
Within an Islamic framework.
So I remember 10 years ago, it was more than 10 years, it was about 12 years ago, my wife, her research, Hada, with like talk to every power couple, not every power couple, but every
successful relationship.
And
from when I was 13, fascinated by successful marriages.
So between her personal research, professional research, her experience incorporating the deen, because so much of what you learn in psychology is actually anti-Islamic, and so much so many times you learn in Islam the rules. So for example, let's go back to the analogy of driving. You have a speed limit that says 50 miles per hour, but when it's snowing you have to know how to drive. You can't go 50 because it says 50,
right?
Okay,
right.
So there has to be, you have to learn the tool how to maneuver within the rules. And
right.
I know a lot of marriages, we see our parents growing up, their relationships are built on
obligations. Yeah. That was with my parents. I mean, mashallah, Allah yarhamhum, they were very respectful to each other. They fulfilled their duties. But I knew I wanted more. I wanted my spouse to be my best friend. And I knew that I had to learn the skills to be able to do that. Because if I just follow, a lot of times we imitate our parents, right? We imitate, and so many times we see that you end up making the same mistakes if you're not careful. So we made a conscious effort to educate ourselves and to create that friendship, to create being a best friend. It's not like, it's not easy, but there are tools. And
that's
so
right.
Just like we were talking about, instead of using the spoon, we want to give you the excavator.
Yes.
want to make it easier for you, inshallah.
To go back to when we were building the five pillars of marriage.
Pause.
Okay.
All right. Can y'all still? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're actually in the mountains in Lebanon visiting my family right now. So, and the internet is kind of starting to bounce. I hope that we're still online and you can
I think they can hear Give us a thumbs up if you can still hear us and see us okay, because we were frozen for a while. Let's see. All right. All right. So you were saying?
Yeah, so about 10 years ago when we started building the five pillars of marriage together, just like my kids, my wife was the main person behind building this beautiful product. So alhamdulillah, the three of our kids are practicing Muslims who are very good examples, da'is, confident, successful in many aspects of their life, tabarakallah.
And I really, can we hear an ameen?
And, you know, I really credit Hala. I mean, she always balanced. The kids never felt her absence at home. Whenever she did her profession, it was her priority. You know, I encouraged her growth, and I always wanted to be there for her professionally to make sure that, you know, we take this beautiful message and bring it out to the world. So one of the things was the five pillars of marriage is that it was based on her experience, her research, and the results. So the fact of the matter is,
we're kind of having a
live. We're having people talk right now. So anyhow, to go back, in building the five pillars of marriage, we selected the best methodology to get the program launched as soon as possible, launched to help as many people as possible.
Right.
And we took about 3 years putting it together. Now, it didn't take full 3 years because we were doing it part-time and what have you. So the point I was trying to make before the people kind of, I lost my train of thought there, is that the five pillars of marriage really embodies everything we know about how to make a relationship beautiful, no matter what the circumstance is.
Right.
We've put in it so much, from how to manage your finances, how to do...
Let's tell them what the five pillars are. Okay, yeah. let's start from there, because there's a lot of thought and psychology put into it. And alhamdulillah, since my husband is an engineer, he made it very systematic. And so we made it, and there's a lot of psychology in it as well. So pillar number one is self-development. Like, you have to be the best version of yourself, right? Because if you come into a marriage, if you are depressed, if you are anxious, if you're insecure, if you have all these issues, then, you know, your marriage is going to be affected, right? So when you work on yourself,
you fill your cup.
You fill your own cup. And then you come in ready to give, right?
Yeah.
So that's pillar one.
And this is something I want to tell you. I want to go back in pillar one. It says that, you know, we say that you can start fixing your marriage alone. It always starts alone. Change always starts alone.
Right.
You have to start changing yourself, because that's the only thing you have control over. And right. Knowing what to change so that your spouse reflected, that is the skill.
Right. And it really, people get shocked when I say, you know, you could do this if your husband is not on board with, let's say, counseling, they're not on board with doing the program, it's okay, because I've seen it. Half the people that come to me, they come alone. You know, the spouse is like, you know what, you got the problem, you go fix yourself, and I don't want to have anything to do with this.
And even when they come together, there's usually one that's really putting in the effort.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. And I tell them that, and I'll share a story with you. Once this lady came in, and she was one of those who had really given her all. And she came, and she was crying in the first session. And she was just like, you know, my husband is very unreasonable. He's very moody. You know, I think there's certain issues going on there. And by the third session, she was just laughing. She goes, oh, my God, I can't believe that my marriage, and I never saw him. She just, you know, she went through the program, and she was saying how I can't believe that by making some small changes, the whole relationship changed. Because what happens is that your spouse starts responding to you as you change, right? It's kind of like a chemical reaction, my background in chemistry. That when you take one substance, when you change it, right, what happens? One is combustible, the other one, there's no reaction. So when you change yourself, then your spouse will respond.
Yes.
You tell us about pillar two.
So pillar two, and actually one of you said that earlier, that, you know, your spouse is your best friend.
Yes.
So friendship, what does it mean to have a friendship in a relationship? And it's actually one of the pillars of a successful relationship, right? So is that knowing?
Right. Well, there's been like 40 years of research on marriage, and they said, how is it that some people last 10 years, you know, 50 years, how many? And then there are some that can't even last 2 years. And they found that it was about having a friendship. So having a meaningful friendship is what really makes a marriage last.
So you start off by filling your cup to give to the relationship, and now when you start giving, you work on the friendship, so that you can come to your problems better. And the analogy I give to my my friends when they ask me, I say, look, if you're standing in line and your buddy steps on your foot, you're like, hey, watch it, man. But if your enemy steps on your foot, you want to fight with him. Mm-hmm. So you need to get that mindset shift.
Right.
Your spouse
Be
is not
friends.
Your end. You need to, so that you can resolve the problem.
Right. Pillar number three is spirituality. You have to have Allah. And this is what makes it so unique, because so many of the training I've had to put everything I have learned through an Islamic filter. 30 years ago, when I went into the profession, I didn't know one other Muslim therapist. Alhamdulillah, there's been a huge movement, many people coming into it. There are many now institutions that teach Islamic psychology, but 30 years ago, there, you know, we didn't have that. And so everything had to be filtered. Now, what's beautiful about this program is that it always keeps you aligned with your spiritual goals, right?
That's right.
We always look at your marriage can be your way to Jannah, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you can earn your way to Jannah. And so that you find that so many people, when they're at the end of their rope, and I tell them, okay, I know that, you know, the emotional bank account is in the negative. Your spouse, like, you know, you're both in the deficit, and you're not going to do anything maybe for their sake, but do it for Allah's sake. And that is transformative.
Absolutely.
Then we have pillar four.
So before we get into pillar four, I want to mention about pillar three, because a lot of people are going to say, why don't you put, you know, your relationship with Allah at pillar one to start off with? I mean, mm-hmm. That's innama al-a'malu bi niyyat, verily every action is by your niyyah, and having Allah present in your life, that should be the first thing. Well, that's actually part of personal development, because you have to bring Allah into your life individually, and that's building yourself. But now when you're bringing it into your relationship, you have to have the foundation of, because once you get to that stage, it's almost like you prep yourself internally so that now you can serve Allah better. And you look beyond yourself. You look something larger than yourself.
Absolutely.
So, right?
It's such a critical point, because if you don't have that God consciousness, you're not going to be fair. You're not going to do, you know, it's not just the rights and responsibility. I find that to be so, like, I mean, we got to go beyond that, right? I mean, it's important, right? I don't want you to, like, overlook it, but it's got to be so much more than just rights and responsibility. And it makes you give when you may not feel like giving, right?
That's right.
All right, and then we have fourth pillar is conflict resolution, which is the heart of the program. This is where, we'd lost contact. Stay with us, okay.
Let's see here.
It seems. There is an internet issue.
Do you want to? We can turn on this camera here.
Issue.
I know. We can turn on this camera here.
Okay.
We lost our internet.
That's why I wanted to, like, get more into the, like, Can I get back?
Let's see.
Layla Jen, can you shut the door, please? Near Pipasvina. Okay, and for the last part, we don't want to make it long. Right?
Yeah.
We just, you know, sign up, get a discount. We didn't get to say that. Okay, let's see. Is it still doing?
All right.
All right. You're. Can y'all hear us or no? Let's see. Okay. All right. No audio. So let's say. Thank you for being patient.
Thank you for being patient. It's been a lot of fun all having today, you all join, today. Join
this webinar. Why is it echoing?
Okay, so remove the other camera.
All right. Bismillah. Well, we have an echo, right? All right. What we want to let you know is that, inshallah, because you joined today, you gave up your precious time. We really appreciate it. And
so let me, the five pillars of marriage, we talked about conflict resolution. And then with a conflict resolution, we teach all kinds of concepts from how to handle marriage, parenting, in-laws,
infidelity, financial issues.
And each one has a long series of how to handle it in the best way.
Right.
And alhamdulillah, it comes from a lot of experience and of practical tools that provide solutions.
Lots of practical tools.
And then even, you know, when people have different levels of spirituality, how to deal with that, even multiple marriages. And then the last one, which is the most exciting one, is how to make passion and love last and right. intimacy.
It's physical intimacy. And it's not the, I like the how to. It is more about how do you develop a
ongoing
attraction.
Yes.
Right. And what makes the person attractive? And it's not what you would, it's not what you would assume, subhanAllah. Lots of unexpected ways of keeping that relationship alive.
Yes, yeah. That's true. So the fact of the matter is we've put our heart and souls into this. And I hope the internet issues, because we're in the mountains of Lebanon on a cell phone connection, and this doesn't reflect the program itself, alhamdulillah, that's very thorough, and we've put our heart and souls into giving to
Inshallah,
it.
Inshallah, and you know, if you found this beneficial, you'll definitely because like we go in depth in each of it. But it's something that we designed together, but I okay. Wow. You guys are great.
You really are. So thanks for staying on.
Staying and being patient with us. You know, the only thing we want to say is that since you joined today and you gave your precious time, we want to give you a gift, a discount of $100 on the marriage program, the five pillars of marriage. So this is
and,
the link
there's
here.
And there's no risk for you guys. We don't want your money if you're not going to benefit.
Right.
It's zero risk on your part. If you register and you know you have 30 days, you no questions asked. After 30 days, we only ask of you to show us that you've done the work. If you haven't felt value, you know, we'll give you your money back.
Our mission is really to help save marriages, because you know what the shaitan values the most, what he gets most proud of, is breaking up marriages and homes. And so we find it very encouraging to help save a marriage, because it's so heavy on your scale of good deeds. It's heavy on our scales, and it would be heavy on your scales if you're able to do it. Even if you're on your own, go through it, give it one last try. One day you're going to stand in the court of Allah and you can say, hey, I tried. I tried my absolute best and I gave it one last shot. But I pray that, inshallah, you all benefited.
You should see the reviews on there. Tabarakallah. So many people. Dr. W, he left a message if you want to share what he said.
Yeah, mashallah. I mean, so many. One of my clients was just, at first, he was very skeptical. And he was like, you know, they were very much on a brink of divorce. And it was a very difficult scenario, subhanAllah. And when he went through it, he's like, my gosh, every single Muslim should go through this. And he really encouraged the men. He's like, you guys, don't think that this is going to be a waste of time. And some people start binge watching it because it's like, my gosh, I watch this and anything I apply, I see results. So inshallah, the reviews talk for themselves. The results speak for themselves.
Even Sheikh Omar Sulaiman endorsed it. His family went through it.
Alhamdulillah. So let us know if you have any questions. Can you please reiterate quickly the five pillars of marriage? Sure. So we have the first pillar is self-development, working on yourself. Second is friendship. Third is spirituality. Fourth is conflict resolution. And then fifth is physical intimacy.
And within conflict resolution is knowing how to communicate. There's a lot of different parts. It's a very heavy part of the program. So you learn how to identify, how to love one another so the other person understands it. We all heard of the languages of love, but you know, we talk about it, but how to practically bring it into your life. There's so many different things that you know you hear as good advice. Like, for example, you need to exercise and eat right to get healthy. Mm-hmm. Well, very good. But I mean, this is a program that if you follow, you're going to get the body you want, metaphorical body that you want, which is the body of your marriage, right? And yeah. Alhamdulillah, you know, I remember, you know, part of our program, we do teach maturity. And I remember one of the first acts of maturity that I had, and this is very common amongst married couples. Mm-hmm. They have different ways that they do things. And I remember that there was the toothpaste issue when we first got married, right? And, you know, mashallah, she has so many incredible qualities, but I got obsessed with the fact that the way she uses her toothpaste is different than...
I squeeze it from the middle.
Yeah, she squeezes it from the middle, and that would bug me. And I could tell her, you know, Habibti, please squeeze it from the bottom. And
I didn't see what the point was, right? I didn't think about it, right?
Yeah, and apparently, I mean, it's a pretty common issue amongst a lot of couples. I didn't realize until I shared the story one day, you know? And,
right.
And I remember the first act of maturity I had is I stood there in the bathroom just starting to feel that anger fester. Mm-hmm. And I took a moment and I took a deep breath and I imagined, may Allah give you a long, healthy life. I imagine that, you know, we'd taken her to the, she had passed away and I had just come back from the burial and I would find that toothpaste with her, with her thumbprint in it. And I thought to myself, if I saw her thumbprint, I would hold the toothpaste and kiss it. Aww. Because I would miss her so much. So why do I have to wait for tragedy to strike to appreciate the differences? And something that I want everybody to walk away with, if you don't, you know, walk away from anything, from me at least, is come to your relationship knowing that true love is loving a person despite the flaws, because everybody loves perfection and only perfection is for Allah Ta'ala. But when you can love a person with their flaws and enjoy what makes them quirky, what makes them different, that is real love. And, you know, inshallah, we've taught in the program how to manifest that in our life. Mm-hmm. And,
absolutely.
And you know, we live it every day. I mean, just getting ready for this program, we had to exercise a few tools.
Right.
So,
that's right.
You know, and it works. It works, alhamdulillah.
It does. And it's not like, you know, there are no conflicts, there are no obstacles. You know, life is always testing us in many different ways. And so the thing is just knowing how to resolve those conflicts is critical, because sometimes people, the smallest things happen and it just gets escalated. You know, people will come to me and it's like all of a sudden they're talking about divorce and it was just about like not going to a party, or oh, like you left the lights on, or something very trivial. And then you see that people who have the skills, they can be tested with the most difficult trials. And they're able to, you know, resolve it and maintain respect and keep that closeness with Allah. So I pray that if you want to make a difference in your life, in your relationship, in your children's lives. So and if you have a friend that is always complaining, maybe about their marriage, maybe just, you know, send them the link. There is a
you can send them a link. So I want to make a point here that, you know, there's two aspects to resolving your marriage. The one is the educational part, and the second is the intervention. Sometimes you need that third party intervention.
Right.
So, as part of the program, when you come in, Sister Hala, my wife, Hala, she's has trained a marriage counselor, a faith-based marriage counselor, who you can book a 15-20 minute discovery session, see if you need that intervention with her. and see if it work, if she works well with you. Mm-hmm. My wife, she's booked out because, you know, it's just there are not enough hours in the day. If you want to wait to work with her, it might take a couple of months. However, you know, we're trying to get more people trained on her methodology. Inshallah. And just the feedback, I think we're talking about holding another webinar with her so you can actually, she can tell you the success she's seen by just bringing the Banani method into it. And the reality is the marriage program works on its own, okay? Mm-hmm. If you are able to deal with your own intervention, we teach you how to do it.
Right.
You know?
And so, like I said, half the people, there's so many, there are hundreds or thousands have gone through the program without even doing counseling with me. And what they learned from the program, they were able to save their marriage. MashaAllah, tabarakallah.
I landed in Dubai with my wife and this person walks up to us and it's like, oh, you saved our marriage in the airport.
Alhamdulillah.
And
we
Canada
get that all the time, like in South Africa, different places. It's a blessing. And really, we feel that this is something that, inshallah, it could be of benefit and it could help save you, and your children, you know. And I want to end on this because I feel like, you know, so many people worry about their children, right? Mm-hmm. They will say, okay, it's okay. I'm not happy. We're miserable. No problem. But raising children in a miserable home, raising them in a dysfunctional home will create psychological problems in your kids. It's not a matter of like, will it happen? If the best thing you can give your kids is a happy marriage, the best thing you can provide is working on it. Even if it was horrible, I've seen so many people, they had a horrible relationship, then they fix it. And that can be the biggest example for the children.
Well, actually, we had a couple that I knew and he called me up. He's like, it's over. She filed a divorce. I'm done. And I don't know what to do. And he actually... was somebody I just knew casually, and I decided I'm gonna go ahead and help him. I talked to him a couple of times on the phone, and then he came over. My wife talked to him, and just by changing himself, he turned his relationship around.
After it was filed, a lot of my clients they have filed. They come in with they have been served, and they're able to save it. So it's I just want to tell you, if you feel like there is an ounce of hope, try it, give it that, tell yourself, I'm going to do this one last try with an open heart, open mind, and see what comes out of it, inshallah. And Allah is the one who gives the barakat. So jazakallah khairan.
Barakallah feekum. If you have any questions, those of you who stayed on, we're happy to answer your questions.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been very patient with the internet issue.
Very, very patient.
So
mashallah,
whatever you guys want, we're here for you for the next 10, 15 minutes, whatever questions you have, we'll be happy to answer.
Yeah. And then if you could also like jot down, what is it that you're walking away with? What is it that you felt like was has been beneficial in this talk? What did you learn? And it would be great. All right, let's see. Jazakallah khairan for such an insightful and valuable presentation. May Allah bless you and your family with immense rewards.
Ameen.
Jazakallah khairan. That's so sweet. I appreciate it. Jazakallah khair, what an insightful webinar, subhanAllah, from South Africa. We love it in South Africa. Thank you for joining us. Jazakallah khairan. Any questions? It's like, oh, that's so sweet. I think that was your story. mashallah. Well, thank you so much for your feedback. Let me go ahead. If any questions, and then as far as the five pillars of marriage, like my husband said, you know, there is no risk. You get it. There's, you could do a payment plan. You could get it. But if you sign up, you will be able to get $100 off. And that way you can, you know, try it out and see for yourself, inshallah.
We've had people who've taken it even after they've gotten separated and they, alhamdulillah, come back together. And some people, they realize that, you know, maybe being together is not the right thing for them, and they move on. But the skills that they learned, they took into the next relationship. Yeah. And then subhanAllah, you know,
yeah.
you have such beautiful stories about that.
Alhamdulillah, definitely. Yeah. So there are sometimes people come to me after a divorce. Like I didn't get a chance to work with them. Or there are times that it's absolutely necessary to get a divorce because it's a dysfunctional or toxic relationship. And when they go through the program, it's so important to analyze what went wrong. It's so important to analyze what did I contribute, right? Because it's so easy. Remember what we said about blaming? Oh, it's all that person. But when you understand it, then when you go to your next relationship, you go in more informed and you can be more careful with what you do. Because if you don't analyze it and you just put all the blame on the other person, you will make all the same mistakes. All right. So let's see. Thank you. And the information conveyed was invaluable. I am pretty sure the program will be awesome too. Jazakallah khairan. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your feedback. How long does this deal last? How long did you put it for?
Oh, for 10 days.
Ten days. Yeah. Okay.
You know, we've tried to keep it as cost effective as possible. Frankly, people are selling courses that are one fifth or less of the content for so much more.
Right. And we try to keep it cost effective. And then there's payment plan if you need it. And
And we'll work with whatever you've got. We don't want, you know, somebody to suffer. We'll work, extend the payment plan, send a support. You. If you really need the extended time, we'll be happy to work. However, the key thing is, you know, give it a try. There is no harm. Exactly. If you give it a try, even if you come back after a few months and say, you know what, I tried it and it didn't work. I want my money back. We're not going to keep your money.
Right.
Okay.
We want you to benefit. So what to do if your spouse doesn't pray regularly? He told me he prays regularly, but wasn't true. Which is, it's so unfortunate when people misrepresent themselves. Because in marriage, you have to be truthful. And that's something that with prayer, I mean, get up and tahajjud, pray for that person. And there's a difference between whether it's laziness or they just don't believe, right?
Yes.
So if there's laziness, there's hope. But if they just say, no, like, I don't believe or I'm not going to pray, that's a different story. Let's see.
So I just want to answer some part to that.
Sure.
Because, you know, not praying, I mean, that is basically, the scholars are debating whether you're Muslim or not. And that's not a position that anybody wants themselves to be in,
right.
Nor their spouse. If you don't have any children with the person, you know, you should be quite direct and adamant. Wallahu a'lam. If you have some more children, I would talk to your local, you should talk to your local imam or whoever you trust, your scholar, and see what is the best way to work it out. But it is a something that.
So for more information on that, pillar three, I go in depth about mismatched spirituality, right?
Yeah.
So if you're very practicing and your spouse isn't, there are lots of mistakes
that's
that
right.
can happen. You can become like a parent, which is a
which
big
pushes
mistake,
them way further.
Which is a big mistake. So there are definitely steps that will teach you how to deal with that.
And this in the program, she outlines how, you know, if you follow it, if this person is sincere, inshallah, they can become.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a gentle reminder that my hubby was once my best friend and I miss my best friend. Oh, I know. And so many people experience that. And you can get it back, inshallah. Even if you know you're the only one working on it, start seeing what you can change. Start, you know, sometimes you're sitting there and waiting for the other person to change. But if you make that effort, you know, remember the humility, the ego, admit, apologize, you take the initiative, take all the reward, you know, and you know, Allah says, and race towards forgiveness, race. So inshallah, you can get it back. Then this was, let's see, what's difficult is to get the spouse to take responsibility. Your advice, please. You know, with the responsibility, what I have found is that if you have a good person that, you know, there's no like psychological issues. And when you start taking initiative and you start giving, then subhanAllah, generally it gets reciprocated. Okay.
So here's something, and it works with any relationship. If you find that your spouse is not receptive to you, and you need to take the initiative, if you approach that person, like my wife said, with humility and love, mm-hmm. and they are a good person, they melt. So I want you to imagine this scenario where I'm the one that's feel like I'm the least contributor to a certain problem. I think my wife is 99% wrong and I'm only 1% wrong. If I take ownership of my percentage, mm-hmm. you know, and I come
we'll
to
make
my
a
wife,
difference.
If I and I tell her, look, I know I did X, Y, Z wrong. If she's a good person, she's going to walk away. It's like, man, he only did that and I did everything else. All of a sudden, you feel you do that if the provided the person is mentally healthy. So there's a lot more detail in the program, but I mean, this is something that will help you with any relationship.
Absolutely,
take ownership of the percentage you yes. own in the program.
And I really have seen people. You know, some people say we started off as enemies. Well, they were in love. And then they became enemies, and then they became best friends again. And
yes.
one dear friend, it was subhanAllah, may Allah have mercy on her. She told me, she goes, after 40 years of marriage, you taught us to be friends again. And that touched my heart. So alhamdulillah, it's never too late, inshallah. Does the course teach how to have conversation? Many times I don't know what to talk about because always ends up with him criticizing me and making me feel badly. You know what's really interesting? The unexpected benefit of this program is, first of all your relationships improve. It's not just your marriage, because yeah. it's all about, like, especially Pillar 4, you learn how to communicate, how to validate, how to resolve a conflict, all of them. So it will work with your kids. It'll work with your in-laws. It'll work with your friends, coworkers. So, you know, that, and that's the feedback that yeah. I want to give
a important feedback on the program. Mm. Imagine you want to go to the gym and your goal, like, is to lift X amount of weight or have a six pack or get to this dress size.
People okay? are like, what are you talking about? Six pack? We just don't want to break this. Anyway, okay, yeah. yeah, all right.
But my point is, if you want to, if you put that goal in mind and you start off in the beginning and you're like, oh, I just went to the gym and nothing changed.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The way the program is built is you have to fill your cup in the beginning.
Yeah.
And a lot of what you need to do is on yourself.
And be consistent.
And be consistent.
And I always tell a lot of the people I work with, I say, just do a social experiment. 2-3 months. I mean, you've been married for who knows, decades, maybe 8 years, whatever it is. You've put in some time and effort, right? So invest 3 months. 3 months, be your best. Look your best. Talk your best. Do all of that. Shower them with attention and love and compassion and appreciation, watch what happens.
Yes.
Just watch what happens. And I'm not saying to do that if it's a abusive relationship or if it's dysfunctional. But
what if somebody says, oh, I've been doing that and I don't see any results?
Well, they usually say, I did that when 20 years ago. I'm like, did it work? Yes, you responded very nicely. Right? But it's like, okay, well, this, you know, it's just like, it's like the example you said about the weight loss. If when some people, and Iman, like some people will say, oh, I used to have such good Iman. I used to be, I'm like, okay, what were you doing? It's not like,
yeah,
it's not.
Well, I was reading a juz a day and I was
yeah,
praying all my sunnahs and I was doing my masjid.
And there's a list of behaviors, right? So if you do those same behavior, your iman is going to rise. And in the same way, if you start doing those behavior that had made you have a good marriage, guess what? Your marriage is going to improve.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wow. SubhanAllah. Yes. All right. So you guys, inshallah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for staying on. And I pray that it was beneficial. And I pray that Allah guides you to take the necessary steps. Because it's amazing. It's amazing what can transform. It's never necessarily too late. There are some situations. It's not the best, but at least you try it one last time and see what happens, inshallah.
And I'm confident if you really commit, just like going to the gym.
Anybody, he loved the gym. Yeah, because, he used to be a weightlifter, so
yeah, I need to head to the gym again. But the point is, just like you see results, if you do the exercises, if you eat right,
you get the results.
You get the results. But knowing how frequently you need to lift, how right. or what to eat, these are actual. It's very important to help you accelerate to right. get the results get you want.
What if you found your husband is not practical Muslim practicing, maybe, and yeah. he presented himself before marriage and it keeps irritating you all the time and affects your respect for him, like not prioritizing that is a tough one. And again, in that the mismatch spirituality will come in very handy in like how to deal with that. And obviously it's disappointing when someone misrepresents themselves, but you also have to zoom out and see the bigger picture and say, there must have been some hikmah in you being married to this person.
And it's a risk. Let me give you a little twist on this. If somebody married a rich businessman and then that businessman lost his business and now he's depressed and he's not able to do the same work and not able to get his business there, you need to be a supportive spouse. Now, there's lots of details. I don't want to give you advice and you probably are, but my point is, just like the risk is written, sometimes this is, what is your test? Look at what you need to learn. Look at how are you trying to give da'wah to him. And then, in the program, Hada goes through how to deal with the mismatch of spirituality, how to bring...
And that is a big issue. And a lot of times, it is the, it might start off as the man being more religious, but then the woman becomes more religious, or they, and that can
or
create
misrepresenting
a lot of,
themselves. Yeah, they're basically Friday Muslims and they pray five times a day, right. But they don't do anything else. And,
Let's see this. Okay. Before marriage, I made a lot of dua for a pious spouse. I don't understand why I got a non-pious spouse. That is hard and it is painful when you pray for something and it doesn't work out, but just like anything else, right? Someone might say, I prayed to be healthy. Why did I get this illness? I prayed for risk. And why did I go bankrupt? Everything is, there's wisdom and hikmah, and I can't end this without making dua for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. SubhanAllah, look at what they're going through. Look, yes. they're losing limbs. They are losing their lives. They're losing their homes. They're being tortured in so many different ways. And may Allah relieve them. May Allah bring tranquility to them and end this oppression. And they might say, we prayed. They're so much better than us in so many ways. And subhanAllah, they're being tested, right? So we're all being tested in our way. Sometimes it's an annoying spouse. Sometimes it's a spouse or children who may not listen. So we just have to really embrace our tests. We have to embrace our
tests. And we have to do our best. So just like you go out and you try to find the best job or start a business, whether or not you are successful in that, is written for you, but you have to do what is necessary. You have to tie the camel. So sometimes, you pray for something, but then you don't tie your camel when you're selecting the spouse. You don't actually do enough research on the person. You don't, or you're put in a situation where you can't, it's semi-arranged
but she's
and culturally.
She made dua. But you just have to recognize that you were tested. We are tested and see this as a test. And see if by changing yourself, maybe you could impact him. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying on and for all your beautiful words. And we're so happy that we're able to share this. This is the first time ever we've done a marriage webinar together. So you're the first to witness this. Inshallah, if you have friends and family that you feel would benefit as well. This would make an excellent gift, excellent wedding gift. And also, or you could just share the link with them, inshallah. Thank you so much. And we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was fun.
When I'm with you, I'm enjoying it.
Alhamdulillah. Take good care. Yeah, and salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bye.